This is episode 405, dated Monday, August 25th, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco. Great to be with all of you on this lovely day. This is episode 405, dated Monday, August 25th, 2025. Before we continue, allow me to introduce the sports spelunkers that we have so far. We have Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. Good evening. From beautiful downtown Pasadena, California, where it is 90 degrees, mostly cloudy. Our chance of showers, or a better chance, was Saturday and Sunday. We didn't get any, but we're getting Texas and Eastern-style humidity here today. So it's a little damper than what we're used to, although we're still drying out from our cruise to Alaska the last 10 days or so, where we got rain a lot.
Welcome back.
Great to be back.
Did you meet any Eskimos?
Oh, we met some First Nation folks, Kingut people. We spent an evening at a village, at one of their villages, saw a performance of a play about their, one of their, clans. And, I didn't hear the word Eskimo once, while we were there. So, maybe they were what used to be called Eskimos. I don't know.
The weather here is sunny for the most part. We're in the 80s, and the typical summer day here in southern New England. Don Wardlow.
Yep, about the same here in Jersey. Not as savagely hot as it was a few weeks ago.
Okay. Peter Alchul.
Welcome from Coos Bay, Oregon. Last week I was in Sandy, Oregon, which is in the Portland area, engaged in a high adventure program where we whitewater rafted and kayaked and ziplined and rock climbed and things like that. And we left there. Friday it hit 101 degrees. It was 97 degrees when we left there. When we got to Coos Bay, it was 64 degrees. We're happy to be home.
And I believe Reverend Michael Garrett has joined us.
I am. And welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is 96 degrees and high humidity. We just got back from El Paso, Texas, where it may have gotten up to the lower 90s, but it was dry air. So it was a change.
That's what I heard before the show. Yeah, desert weather, kind of. Anyway, Luther King. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marvin.
No, I was just going to say it was a big change from when we got off the plane last night. You could feel the humidity. We're at home.
There you go. Luther King hopefully will be joining us soon, and I'm sure when he does, he will let us know. Let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer. Thank you for what you do. Also, our media outlets, thank you for airing us what you do. That's very important. Also, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, thank you for archiving our shows on my website. To find them, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts. Click on them, and you will see most of our archive programs from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
I want to say hello to Trish, our facilitator, and Brad, our streamer. Thank you for helping us out today. And because we are being streamed live, I would like to give out my email address, because I'm sure those of you, especially Yankee fans, may want to write us here at Sports Roundtable to express your thoughts about that and other topics that we talk about. And that would be BOBRANCO bobranco93@gmail.com. Again, my email address is bobranco93@gmail.com. And
Bob,
yes.
Bob, I have a topic that will get you all riled up.
Oh, really? Well, I'll let you go. Go ahead, Mitch.
There was a news story about a Korean pitcher in the Little League World Series who threw a pitch at 82 miles an hour.
I got the email.
The equivalent would be if a major league pitcher threw at 107. And given all of the discussions we've had with various guests and amongst ourselves about what is happening to youth sports and youth baseball in this case, a kid throwing 82 miles an hour, when do you think he's going to have Tommy John surgery?
How old is he?
12, I think.
I'd say by the time he's 14.
They claim I don't believe that for a minute. No 12-year-old can do that.
He did it more than once. He did it twice.
Well, whoever checks the birth certificates for Little League has been hoodwinked before now, so they can be hoodwinked again.
Well, there is that. I remember that was a bunch of years ago, but I remember that.
Hmm. But so how much do we trust this particular story then under that circumstance?
I have a big problem with it. I put a big old box of salt on top of it.
The problem is, even if he's 14, let's pretend that he's 14. That's still a pretty impressive accomplishment. I think the question still holds, given, the question that Mitch.
Correct. And he'll get the surgery depending where you're talking about. I don't know in Korea how rapidly they would either go to it or be able to go to it. They might have to send him to America to get it done.
It's Taiwan, so as I remember the story.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought he was a Korean pitcher.
You may be right, Mitch. Maybe. I thought it was Taiwan, yeah. But I could be.
But
wrong.
They're pretty advanced in both countries. I suspect. So if he is 14 and shouldn't be pitching there, so instead he'll have the TJ surgery when he's 16.
Well, that only follows the pattern in modern day baseball. You got to throw hard. That's the baseball commandment. You got to throw hard. Doesn't matter how much Tommy John surgeries you need, you still have to throw hard. It's amazing.
Do we know who won the Little League World Series?
I'm sorry, Peter?
We know who won the Little League World Series? Was
that kid's
Taiwan?
Team, Taiwan, yes.
Yeah, well.
Oh, it was Taiwan. Okay, then he was a Taiwanese kid.
They beat.
Well, it means from a total athletic standpoint that all of the attributes that an athlete must have, speed, power, and flexibility, but speed and power, speed kills, as we say, you, as a batter, you got to be able to, how are you going to meet that 100 mile power ball? You got to be quick and strong, and those balls go out faster than they come in. Because, we're looking at trajectory and what's the term that they use?
Exit velo.
When the ball.
Yeah, exit velo.
Velocity. So on the other end, the position players are getting stronger and more muscle. So.
And guys like Wilbur Wood will never get a job again. And that's pathetic. Guys like Wilbur Wood should be able, to get a job, but they can't. Greg Maddux would never get a job again because he couldn't touch 90.
But the thing is that if you are not just following the herd like baseball management does, everybody is geared for the fastball. Don't you think they used to call them junk ball pitchers? Don't you think that a player who could throw a changeup, who could move the ball around, wouldn't exceed 90 miles an hour? Don't you think a pitcher like that would really have a chance at least for the first couple 3 years to something special in MLB?
They could succeed, but would they ever even get looked at?
Well, there is that.
Yeah, just like the Bob Princes of this world will never be allowed to broadcast because they'd never hire a guy with a gravelly voice like what he had.
Mitch, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct, Mitch. I think that those kinds of pitchers would be successful in baseball. The problem is the analytics departments don't want that anymore. And that's the problem.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mitch. I think that if a pitcher was able to throw that changeup or throw a sinking fastball or a sweeping curve, something that keeps the batter off balance, you know, I think that they would be effective. But, you know, like Bob said, I think analytics has said you got to throw hard.
Everybody's concerned about spin rate too. You got to have the right spin rate. Doesn't matter how good a pitcher is. It matters mostly about your spin rate. And I think that's a little bit nitpicky.
Yeah, it's no longer you got to have heart. Now it's you got to throw hard. Really, really, really hard.
Of course. Don, you're right. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Baseball may go on strike in a couple of years. The collective bargaining agreement is coming up. This should be talked about during that time, I think, if the union is willing to.
Well,
so Bob, you don't think that we're already seeing all of these pitchers on MLB staffs. You know, how many was it, Mitch? They've used about 30 something pitchers already.
Used, not including Ohtani and the two position players, Rojas and Kike, who came in blowout games, all of the blowout games we were behind in. We've used 36 pitchers this year.
Yeah, and the Astros have used about 30, 31.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
My point is, if we tend to see more teams using all of those pitchers, do you think that would have an effect on the administrators? Maybe they would change and say analytics is not helping our players.
That depends on which administrators. The owners have no problem with this. The owners make all of their money. In fact, a lot of the players on the players union are just happy getting their guaranteed money, even if they're hurt for a year at a time. So this is one of the reasons why it's going to be a problem resolving this during the collective bargaining agreement period.
Well, what's the issue they want resolved? Let me frame the question differently.
Well, the owners are once again going to fight for a salary cap.
Yep. That's
the
main
not
one.
The question I'm asking, Mitch. We're talking about, you know, advocating that pitchers who are good but throw less hard should be given a shot. How does that tie into the bargaining agreement that, you know, Bob says?
I don't think it does.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, I just assumed that everything's on the table when you're about to strike, whether it's salary cap or anything else in baseball.
The players don't care about that, Bob. Whatever will get them ahead, whatever will get them a good contract, and if that's the way baseball is going, then they'll go with it. And you know, they obviously want to have a long career, but if you've got a 5-year or well a 3-year contract, even at 10 or 12 million a year, and you blow your arm out before you're 30. Do you really care? Yeah, I know they want to play. They're athletes. They're competitive. But they really are set for life unless they squander their money.
It depends whether they care about, do they want to be able to hold their child? Do they want to be able to hold their grandchild? You ever seen the arm on an old pitcher? My broadcast partner has. He's the one who could see. And he could tell you if they, you know, have had enough injuries, their arms all bent up and they can't, you know, hold a child or a grandchild.
No, I've heard stories, Don. I remember the Dodgers back in the 60s had a really, really top-notch screwball pitcher. They didn't call him closers in those days. We had a guy named Jim Brewer. And as I recall, Brewer threw so many screwballs at his arm, just, you know, it looked at it, he was twisted. So I get you. I hear you.
I remember Jim Brewer.
Yeah, so do I. He was still around when I was beginning to like baseball in the 70s.
Yep.
One of the things that I've sort of gotten from athletes, and maybe this is a bit of a too much for generalization, is that in order for you to believe that you're to be a really good athlete, you have to believe that nothing will happen to you.
Yeah.
You have to believe that you won't get injured, because once you bring in the factor of injury and you start worrying about it, you're going to lose that 0.5% of whatever it is that makes you an elite athlete. I've talked to several Missouri athletes when I was tutoring them, and that was sort of the thing. You know, we can't afford to think like that because we want to be the best we can be, and we can't worry about it. If we get injured, I guess we get injured, but we can't worry about that. And that's why when people, when they come back from injuries, you know, serious knee injuries or whatever it is, the question is, can they sort of rebound to that sort of psychological point where they need to be successful? It's a real balancing act. At least the athletes who I've talked to about this. And,
But switching to football, because I heard a story yesterday that just floored me. I don't remember the NFL team, but apparently one of the linemen in an NFL team's camp has been told that he cannot come on the field, he cannot suit up, he cannot practice. He weighs 420 or 430 pounds, and he's down from 460.
Wow.
You know, it's one thing, Don, not to be able to pick up your child or your grandchild. How about somebody that size dropping dead of a heart attack by the time they're 30? I cannot imagine someone weighing over 400 pounds and still trying to play football.
I don't even want to think about that.
But I think most linemen, offensive linemen, aren't they over 300 pounds? I know we're talking about.
Yeah.
A 25% increase. Yeah. So that's, I get it.
But 300 or 3 1/4,
yeah.
350. You're talking about 460?
No, it's
yeah.
What position was he, Mitch?
He was a defensive lineman, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, a lot of the offensive linemen are about 330. The good ones, they want them to be about 330, but they try to get them down to below 320, right at 315 or something like that.
Mitch is right.
Unhealthy.
So how do you defend that? I mean, it's kind of like that Laker guy whose name I can't remember who was overweight all the time, right? And they're trying to get him to lose weight.
You mean Luka?
Luka.
Luka.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one thing to be 20, 30 pounds overweight when your normal playing weight is 200, 210, 220. But it's just to imagine someone as big as that. If you listen to some of the former football players on Sports Talk, Chris Canty, who's on in the mornings, a lot of these guys, the first thing they did when they retired, if they, because they know they want to live, is they drop 40, 50, 60 pounds. When Mike Golic was on in the morning, and I used to, I really liked Mike Golic on ESPN, and, you know, he always fought his weight, but he lost a lot of weight after he retired. And I think a lot of these guys do that, but playing at that kind of weight is just, a head scratcher.
When Chris he Canty, had a show with Tom Greenberg, he was great.
Chris Canty a defensive back, right?
No, he was
he was a linebacker,
a defensive lineman, I think.
Yeah.
He played defense. But we had a guy here, Indy Kalu, played in Philadelphia. Yeah, played here in Houston. But he had a radio program for a while. Very good facilitator of that radio program. But he talked about working out all the time because he's trying to get his boys to play and be responsible athletes. But he dropped a lot of weight and continues to work out too. So I agree with you, Mitch. I think a lot of them do that.
Yeah. If you want to pass 40 or 50, you better.
Yes, definitely.
So, Don, I wanted to tell you that I am happy that our Red Sox took 3 out of 4 from your Yankees. I got to tell you, though, and I think the Yankees are a good team, generally speaking, and they will probably be in the playoffs. The bullpen is very questionable. I know they made several acquisitions at the trade deadline, Bednarz, Blackburn. I'm surprised they're making a reliever out of Blackburn.
Yeah,
what were they thinking yesterday? Go ahead.
They got these people from Walmart. And they used to shop at Neiman Marcus, or they used to shop on the Miracle Mile. I don't even know if Neiman Marcus still exists. Now they shop at Walmart and places and dollar store. And I said to somebody, I don't know who, that if you and Amy are fit to do so, you're probably doing a happy dance sometime during this past weekend. And honestly, I hope you were doing a happy dance because I like the idea of a man and his wife doing a happy dance because it's been a long time since I had a wife that I could do a happy dance with.
Especially where it was our anniversary yesterday.
Wow. Wonderful.
Oh, congratulations.
How many years?
Thank you. 6.
Congratulations. You all the happiness.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But Don, you also have 2 of the worst defensive outfielders right now, Dominguez and Stanton.
Only 2?
Well, I would hope the others are better. I'm just pointing out those 2 from what I know about them.
Yeah, Stanton has no business being in the outfield. He's only there because we got injuries.
Because Judge can't play the outfield.
Messed up his elbow, I think. So we got real problems there. We got real problems in the bullpen. And we got real problems with the
shortstop.
Now that and the simple fact, my broadcast partner and me got on the phone about this last night. We do not play solid, sound, fundamental baseball. Now, Luther King tells me nobody plays good, solid, sound, fundamental baseball anymore. But I beg to disagree with him, and I have, although I can only think of 2 teams I can think of that do play solid, sound, fundamental baseball, and they are the Brewers and the Tigers. I mean, I would have said the Padres, but a week and a half ago, they had a game in L.A. against the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. They got 3 guys thrown out stealing within the first 2 innings of the ball game. I mean, how are you, if you're a runner on first base and Luis Arraez is at the plate, this is a guy with 3 batting titles, and I don't mean 10 years ago. I mean in
3
the
different
last,
teams, right?
Right. And how do you run and take a risk of getting thrown out when you have a guy with 3 batting titles at the plate? If that guy puts the ball in play, you could run for days rather than running and getting thrown out stealing. And Arraez is not a Judge or a Stanton. He's not a strikeout machine. He does put the ball in play.
The problem, Don, Arraez is one of us could probably beat him in a 100-yard dash. He's very slow. And you know, the Dodgers we lost 2 out of 3 over the weekend, but we beat the Pods 9 out of 13 this year. And I've listened to most of the games. The Padre manager is very aggressive. And I think he's instilled that in his players. And I think sometimes players put valor ahead of discretion, and I didn't hear that game in question. I heard about it, and I think that the thinking behind running Will Smith has got the top top percentage in baseball among catchers throwing runners out. And I think what the thinking process was is, let's be aggressive. Let's try to steal second because Luis does hit the ball, hits it on the ground, but he's very likely to hit into double play. I think the pods have pretty high number of double plays. They might be second or third in the league, in the NL at least, hitting into double plays. So that was, I think, the reason that they were so aggressive.
And wouldn't you think the analytics geniuses could say, hey, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith, does have a good gun throwing guys out. So why don't you guys be a little cautious? Or does analytics only talk about pitching and not about, you know,
baseball? No, I hear you. The other issue, though, with the Dodgers, and this is why, while everybody loves our pitching coach, I don't. None of the Dodger pitchers hold base runners very well. It's like when they're on the mound, they focus solely on the batter, and everybody in baseball knows it, and so there's more of a notion among other managers. You know, we can steal on them because they don't practice. They don't practice holding runners on. Talking about fundamental baseball.
Well, Mitch, do they run early on Dodger pitchers?
They tend to, but you know what I've observed this season, not just this season, last couple, three seasons, is they're likely to run whenever they feel like it. That there's, it's just the guys don't hold base runners on very well.
Well, I asked that question because, you know, now with that two throw limit, I mean,
yeah,
they feel the runners of any team feel pretty free once they throw those two pitches.
Absolutely.
Two times the first base, then, you know, hey, I now it's me and the catcher.
Hey, you know, Ricky Henderson or Lou Brock or Maury Wills,
baseball, yeah.
They'd steal 200 bases.
They would literally just run all over you if you weren't paying attention.
Yep.
It's Luther.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess. But I mean, what the three guys you just mentioned, I think that's what's missing a lot in baseball. Cause Don, you and I talked about this in what Tex King, we were talking about like the lack of moving base runners over, where they had how many in a game you and I were listening to, or maybe one of the other games, how many opportunities did we say you have a runner at third and less than two out, and they have a runner at second with nobody out and they can't even move the runner over?
Right. I was talking about the Yankees against Boston.
And that was
maybe
what?
Either Thursday or Friday, either of those
one of the
games.
Two. Yeah.
It was
embarrassing.
Yes,
it was embarrassing.
And I didn't even dare listen to the Crochet game against Wee Willie Warren. I mean, I knew how that game was going to end up, although
awful.
Warren did better than the other pitchers did after him.
And you know, Rodon, well, at least Rodon was able to get you at least five and 6 2/3, whatever.
And Freed did all right Friday night.
Freed did okay Friday.
Well, he lost a Freed game. That shouldn't happen.
But there's a problem. You didn't get a lot of, you had an opportunity, but you didn't capitalize on them. And this is what, you know, we talked about in Text Chain, where when you have, because I know we talk about analytics all the time, but sometimes analytics doesn't tell you how good your team really is. It really doesn't. Cause if you can't move a base runner with less than two outs, are you really that good of a baseball team? If you can't maximize your opportunities to score runs.
Anybody that pitches against the Yankees pitches to protect his own team from giving up home runs. The Yankees
exactly.
are notorious.
They
love the long ball.
They love
hit it well.
Entirely
yes,
one-dimensional.
They're too one-dimensional.
But we're not the only team that is. There's
a lot
of teams that can't
There's
get
a lot
a runner
of teams that do that.
Across from third.
Or move a runner from first or move a runner from second to third.
Right.
Or
a lot of
base runner.
going
around. And the analytical thinking is, why waste an out? The Dodgers have lost, I don't have my stats in front of me, but the Dodgers have lost a number of extra inning road games.
Yep.
Because they have not been able to move a runner, a base runner over to third.
Exactly.
And it has bitten them in the behind many, many times this season.
I've seen the Cardinals do that in extra inning games.
14 game win streak snap.
Yeah.
Game number 15.
Yep.
10th inning, runner on second.
Runner at second. Nobody out.
They tried to bunt. They threw to third. Nailed
them off.
And that was the end of the inning. And then the Reds scored in the bottom because they bunted their ghost runner over to third. And then they got a hit to end the ball game.
Or even a bunt and a fly ball would win you the ball game. So, I mean, if you have that runner on second base, you have at least two chances to get that runner home. But here's what I don't like though. When you fail to get the runner over and then you get the runner over with two outs and then you can't get a two out hit. That, I'm like, if you're supposed to be a good baseball team, you have to get those runners over. Have to.
Small ball.
Well, you're talking about teams that are so home run reliant. The Dodgers yesterday, the game we won down at Petco, we won 8-2. We hit four home runs and seven of the eight runs were via home run.
Was that yesterday?
Yes.
And now you and the Padres are back tied, I think.
Yeah, we're tied. We're tied.
Again. I think that's going to come down to the last day. I think you guys are done with your regular season meeting.
Yeah,
you guys meet in a one-game playoff.
No, there will not be a playoff at all. The way the Major League Baseball has gone is if teams are tied at the end of the season, the team that won the series
is the Dodgers division winner. I think it was like what? 13 to, what was it?
Nine out of 13.
9-4.
If the Sox and Yankees tied for the first wild card, the Sox play all the home games in the first round because they're 8-2 against the Yankees.
Yep, that's the difference.
They won the series already.
Yep. So even if the Yankees, I think
we have enough games to go that will, I don't think there'll be a tie between you guys.
Well, no. Well, here's the thing, Mike. I'm glad you mentioned this because your Astros, they play the Padres. So you have a chance to pick up, if the Padres win tonight, a half a game. The Astros have a chance to pick up a full 3-game lead if the Padres beat the Mariners. If you don't, then it's back to a game and a half. So right now you're sitting in an interesting spot with the AL West.
We're up by two. We're up by two right now.
Either two. Yeah. It can either be two
Mariners,
and a half or one.
The Mariners.
Half.
The Mariners are underperforming right now.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah. So are the Astros.
Whoever comes out of the AL West, whoever wins it, and whoever doesn't gets a wild card. I hope they don't get matched up with either the Red Sox or whoever the number three wild card is, because I think whoever does not win the West is going to be very vulnerable, because they'll host, but I just don't know. Between the Astros and Seattle, who, you know, is going to come out of that? Whoever does not win the AL West is going to be very vulnerable as the second or third wild card.
Michael, I know this will be very tough for you, but you might want to be a Dodgers fan the last three games of the regular season, because the Dodgers go up to Seattle.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come down to that. But here's the thing though. I have a feeling it might. I think the NL West might come down to the last day too. Right now, both Western divisions in the American and National League have been very contested all year.
I think the Padres apparently have the easiest schedule in baseball. They play several of the last place clubs in both leagues.
Well, Mitch, here's the problem. Just because I've seen this movie so many times. Just because you had the easiest schedule doesn't mean nothing.
I get it. The Dodgers have tended to play down to their
so are the Padres.
So I get you.
I mean, look, just because somebody has a last, you know, oh, they had the easiest schedule in baseball, doesn't mean that last place team is just going to roll over and die. You know, they even because a lot of those players have something to play for. Their manager may have a job, you know, to secure.
When the Dodgers went into Colorado last Monday,
I'm
thinking we better win three out of four. And we could win four out of four, and we were lucky to split.
I remember that. Yeah. And because of the split, the Padres and you came into that weekend tied. And basically you left the weekend, even though the Padres won two to take the lead. You basically got the last one. And basically you ended where you started tied.
Yeah. Let's see if we can
bring
We just got about
25 games to go, right?
I think my Cardinals have 31. I think it's like 31.
It's about 30.
Closer to 30. Some have 30.
There could be a lot of movement.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So let's see if we can
there could be a lot of movement.
Yep. Some participants on the show, you're listening to Sports Roundtable. Everything is on the table today. So let's see who we have. Trish? Does anybody want to talk to us?
We have Rick. Oh, Rick, go ahead.
Rick from Florida, probably.
Ricky.
Hey, good evening, guys.
It is Rick from Florida.
Ricky, how are you?
It is.
How are you?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Couple of things here. And we've kind of gone over this before, with the pitchers. These guys, because of the speed of their arms and everything, they can't go past six innings. I mean, it's very rare, even if a guy's having a good game. I mean, let's say, their team is up 5-0 and the guy's pitching a good game.
Like last night with Rodon, he was cruising right along, and then all of a sudden, and what? The sixth? No, it was the seventh. He had two outs, and all of a sudden the Red Sox got, what, second and third?
And I've got a two and then they had to get him out of there.
And then they got him out of there.
And then they take him out of there, yeah.
But luckily, at least for that night, the bullpen was able to, you know, hold it down for the last three and a third. And at least, Jazz Chisholm got him at least a couple of insurance runs where he didn't have to come down to having to use Bednar to close it.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're depending too much on their bullpens.
But here's the problem.
Really are.
When you get to the postseason and you're asking your bullpen, hey, our starter didn't go no more than three. Can you give us six? You're going to have, the bullpen's going to have nothing left.
They're going to have nothing left. Exactly. And, we got a big series.
I've seen that movie before.
Yeah, me too. We got a big series coming up this weekend with Philadelphia. And
Tampa Bay,
the Marlins or Miami?
No, the Mets.
Oh, the Mets.
Hold on. I think that series starts tonight, actually, doesn't it?
It does.
I think it starts tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The Mets are seven games out?
Yeah, seven out and barely
and
holding
on
to
seven more. We have seven more with Philly, so it could be interesting.
You guys are going to have to get six out of seven to even have a chance at the division. Because if you lose two out of three and you're eight out with only, what, four to play, the math is only going to be impossible unless the Phillies go on a tailspin.
That's the only way I see. We got to win. You're right. We got to win six out of seven.
You've got to sweep.
We got to sweep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because with you being seven out of the division, the only way you're going to get back in the division is you've got to sweep both the series. And the way you guys have been pitching.
Philadelphia's got big trouble now.
But here's the thing. They got Wheeler's back.
Down.
But what they need to know is this thoracic outlet thing he had, that was the death of Matt Harvey. That was the end.
Yep, it was.
Yeah.
So yeah. Wheeler may never pitch again.
Luckily they got Aaron Nola back. But the thing is, I don't know what their manager's going to do. If they're going to go 6-man rotation or they're going to stick with 5. That's going to be the big question moving forward for the Phillies. Because right now they're comfortably in front for now. But if they have to go to a 6-man rotation, that means a reliever's going to have to come out of the bullpen, which is going to make them one arm short for the bullpen.
Exactly.
If they go 6-man rotation, but I don't know if they're going to do that yet.
I don't see why they should.
I mean, again, I don't know. That's just from the Philly side of it, because I don't know what their manager and their front office is going to do.
Where would they find 6 people? They already lost Wheeler, so they're down to 4. How are they going to go from 4 to 6?
They're going to have to pull people up from their minor league.
From the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
Yeah.
They got problems. They'll still make the style playoff, but they may or may not hang on to the division. I don't know.
I mean, they'll probably hang on to the division because I don't trust the Mets. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. I don't trust the Mets, but here's the thing though. If they get to the division series, that's where it's going to get interesting for me, because whoever they have to face in the division series, and if the opponent's pitching staff is already set up, the Phillies could be in trouble. If they don't, they won't have to play the wild card, but whoever they have to play in the division series.
Anybody can get hot, you know.
Sure can.
Four or seven. We know that.
We've seen it.
Yep.
Thank you, Rick. Yep.
All right, thanks.
Oh, and I forgot. And Mitch, I forgot one thing. Your Dodgers get the Reds. Please, for the love of God, beat the Reds.
Well,
we're gonna
try.
Jesus, please! Next, I'm getting sick of them.
Next, we have Kevin Berger.
Kevin,
hello, Kevin. Welcome.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. Good to hear Mitch is back. We're gonna try the same similar cruise next May. And for you guys around the country, it feels like Colorado today. It's 68 with some rain.
Oh wow.
Not much, but it's enough.
And Kevin?
Where are you at?
Thornton, Colorado, just outside Denver.
Okay.
And people here were thrilled when the Rockies beat the Dodgers. I can tell you.
How far from the Springs are you?
Well, Colorado Springs, about 70 miles, maybe.
Ah, okay.
It's dead south of us.
Are they ever going to bring the Sky Sox back at some point to play at Security Services Field down there? Which is basically an empty ball field, I think, I don't know what they're doing at that field, but I kind of miss Colorado Springs. It was a launching pad up there.
I haven't heard any news in that area.
Man. The day that MLB took that over, I'm like, oh.
What's on your mind, Kevin?
Oh, no, just a couple of things. I was going to add, and then I'll let you guys go back to it. It was Taiwan Little League World Series, and the kid also hit a triple and drove in 2 runs besides pitching a one hit.
That's amazing.
I think from what I heard from one of the pitches that he was throwing 82, which was an equivalent of a 107 mile an hour major league pitcher's fastball.
Yeah, I believe it.
He was dealing yesterday for Chinese Taipei.
I didn't watch. I just heard the results. And
that was their first title in 8 years. They hadn't won one since 2017.
Well, you know, all those kids of 2017 were probably 17 at the time, and they had to rob another batch to come up.
Exactly. Have you guys noticed it's like every time the team from the U.S. puts a team against China or Japan, it's like those countries practice baseball all year round. And it's a huge difference. It just feels like the difference is shown every time they play in the Little League World Series.
Well, there was an article I read where the guy who created Little League way back in the day, I don't know, what was it, 1910 or whatever, he never really wanted a World Series. He thought he just wanted to keep it a kid's sport, but this is where we are.
Well, guess what? When you can create leagues and you can have a championship at the end and you get sponsors, then guess what? That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's what they did. I'm just saying the original creator said, I didn't want one. I was sorry it happened.
So
now, when I was a kid, there was only one or two foreign teams would come every year. It was mostly American teams. Now I think there's eight of each.
I think it's like eight. It's like the world version, and then there's a world bracket, and then there's a U.S. bracket.
So I have to say to Kevin, Saturday, USC opens up against the Missouri State Powder Puffs.
Yep. Missouri State Bears.
I'm sure you and I will be hanging around radio or television to catch, the first game of Lincoln Riley's, alleged, resurgence.
Hold on. For the record, Mitch, Missouri State has a 6'5" fifth year senior quarterback who the scouts say could be a late round pick. So he's not going to be, you know, intimidated, but it just isn't much around.
Well, the good news is sad for us that Art Haynes will no longer be doing Missouri State Athletics. I think it's Corey Gray, I forgot his last name, but I think starting this season, he will be the lead voice for Missouri State football, men's basketball, and baseball starting this year.
You're too critical about USC playing whoever it is they're playing.
Missouri State.
Missouri starts their game against Arkansas State.
Oh, that should be a doozy.
Another cream puff.
Yes, exactly.
Both teams should get to 1-0.
Yeah.
Keyword, it should.
Well, ST's a 35-point favorite, so, you know.
I don't even know what the line is on the Missouri game. I'll have to look later. But I know it's probably going to be pretty high.
Now, Kevin, I don't think USC has covered a spread in the 3 years that Riley's
no,
been at SC.
No, so I would be tempted to put my money on Missouri State.
No, I would not. I would not. We will not cover that game.
Well, the college football party starts on Thursday.
And this is for Mitch. When you answered my thing about the USC men's basketball schedule, I haven't seen one like that since George Raveling. Remember, he used to be able to find all these teams I never heard of for his non-conference opponents. Washington State or Montana A&T. I swear.
Montana A&T?
He's slightly exaggerating, but only slightly.
Yeah.
You got to stack that early schedule, man. You got to get into the tournament.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Before we continue, I just want to take a minute to remember somebody dear to a lot of us who passed away last week. Some of you may know him or have heard about him. He was on Sports Roundtable as a panelist briefly several years ago. Ken Meyer has passed away at the age of 79. He was a blind talk show host in the Boston area for many years. I'm sorry? Wow.
Well, I said I've heard the name, never really heard him, but I didn't recognize it.
We believe it was heart failure. We don't know the whole story. I spoke with his wife yesterday, and he had been recuperating from a back issue, was getting better. All of a sudden, he ended up in the ICU with a heart failure of sorts. But Ken Meyer will be missed. I really enjoyed working with him. He was on this program along with another podcast that Peter and I do, In Perspective. He was a very devoted sports fan as well. He enjoyed his sports. Ken Meyer passed away at the age of 79.
For those who can access In Perspective, we interviewed him about a month ago, I think it was. And,
yeah, I think I saw the email about it.
Fascinating guy. His story is fascinating. So if you can go on Bob's website, BrancoEvents.com, and look for it, it's well worth listening to. It was a good interview.
I don't know if you guys saw today that the Commanders and McLaurin finally got their deal done today.
And we're at the 10-minute mark.
Thank you, Trish. Oh, McLaurin ain't coming to the Patriots. Oh, I'm so disappointed.
I think it's a 3-year deal. I forgot the particulars. I heard it on NFL radio.
I thought it was a pretty good deal for the Commanders. It's a 3-year deal.
3 years.
For $96 million,
and 30 of it guaranteed.
It's not chump change, but it's not what other receivers get. So
exactly.
Trish, do we have any hands?
We do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I was hoping the Pats would pick up McCorn, but I guess it's not going to happen now.
Here's what I wonder.
There's a guy that just asked for a trade as I was looking.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers. That was
Jacoby Myers. Yeah, the law firm of Jacoby Myers wants out of Vegas.
Well, here's another question though. If Myers gets his wish for a trade, is there a possibility that Hendrickson gets traded before the season as well, or do we continue to wait to see how long it takes for somebody to blink with this Hendrickson in Cincinnati and the Parsons with the Cowboys? Who's going to blink first? Because right now, those are the two big holdouts right now on the defensive side of the ball. Who do you think blinks first between one of those two? Or
Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Well, Jerry's given him a really good contract. But it's the agent, you know, threw it back. I saw a couple of guys say that, you know, he will play, but Jerry's got the hammer because he still got him locked up for 3 years.
So, yeah, I think right now they've got him on 24 for this year. They've got him for this year for $24 million.
I mean, he could franchise him if he really wants to.
Yeah, they could franchise him twice, which would give them at least up to $7 million. And then if they try to franchise tag him again, it would be about a 44% bump from what he's already being paid. That would be more quarterback rate.
So if it's about the money, his pockets will be full about money. But I don't know if there's something going on in the locker room or between him and Jerry. I wonder
if David Mulugeta is going to basically say, hey, if he really looked at the contract, it's like, wait a minute, what happened here? Because they were supposed to go directly to me, not, you know. And there's something in the CBA where they're supposed to go to the player's agent anyway.
But we're talking about Jerry Jones. He doesn't do things by the NFL.
I know. But here's the question though. At what point does the NFL, the NFLPA step in and say, hey, this is what the CBA was for? At what point do they basically, how can I say this in the nicest way possible, put their foot down and basically fine him while, you know, and they say, hey, look, here's how the CBA is. The owner has to go to the player's agent. It can't just be direct contact with the player because it's in clear writing with the CBA. And he's violated it constant.
Well, wait a minute. Lamar Jackson bypassed
a whole different ballgame because he's done all of his contract on his own because he didn't have an agent.
He has
He has, I think, his mom and his uncle, I think, help him with that, but they aren't considered agents.
Okay, gotcha.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Well, I just remind you, Michael, that Parsons has a bad back. And who's to say that his back might become worse and he can't play for the entire season? You never know how these things might
Or Pete. Or Pete, here's a better scenario. How about this? They say it's a bad back, but he's withholding services from the team until he actually gets a new deal.
If they determine that, I mean, well, it's like I had this conversation this morning and they were saying, well, you know, Zach Martin held out, Emmitt Smith
held out.
CD Lamb held out. So it's not unthinkable that Parsons would sit out.
Didn't Dak Prescott hold out?
Yeah, he got his like same day of week one, right when they kicked off with the Eagles. He got his
right up on the day. I don't think he was threatening to hold out, but
no.
He knew he was going to get a good deal. He knew he was going to get
it. But basically because of that, they're over a barrel when it comes to, you know, paying the guy that they need to pay.
Well, I mean, from what I hear, he gave him a $203 million contract with close to $140 million guaranteed. Now, I haven't verified that, but
I don't
but,
know. I but, haven't heard either. Now, normally, yeah. normally, if I listen to PFT Live, normally, you know, Florio will come up with that. Florio and his sources at PFT would definitely would have had something on that if it had actually come to fruition.
The thing that I find really amazing about this is if you listen to ESPN radio, which I do a lot as sort of my background noise as I'm doing whatever I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
the amount of free press that Jones has gotten because of this is astounding. I mean, we are talking about the same thing. It, you know, there are so many other stories that we could talk about if you want to talk about football. You got, you know, Denver Broncos might be a pretty good team this year.
Could be.
You got the Buffalo Bills. You got the Baltimore Ravens. You got the Jets and the Packers playing the first game. You know, there's all kinds of lines we could talk about. And what are we talking about? Jerry Jones.
And by the way,
it's amazing how this works.
And Petey, check this out. The Chargers, who can't stay healthy, they're literally going to have to go shopping for almost a whole new offensive line. They lost their left tackle, Slater, and they moved all to the left side. He was supposed to be playing the right, and they're literally going to have to go offensive line shopping.
I thought when you mentioned the Chargers, you were going to talk about the 10-year suspension on top of the 4-year suspension Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, just had levied against him by the
NCAA.
Yeah, he'll never coach in college football again.
And you think he cares?
Nope.
He knew that. He knew that.
That's why he left.
Yeah. You know what I'm surprised at, though? I'm surprised that the NFL didn't do the same thing that they did with Jim Tressel. Because remember, Jim Tressel was talking about it.
That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Remember when Jim Tressel was supposed to be going to the Colts to do a video replay advisor or something?
We are out of time. Gentlemen, we are out of time. Unfortunately, it was a fast show. Sorry for being so abrupt, but the clock has defeated us. Anyway, thanks for a wonderful program, guys. And also thanks to Trish and Brad for helping us out. And, of course, our callers. We appreciate your input as well. I'm Bob Branko. Go safe with God's abundant blessings, everyone. See you next week. Take care.